and turn to Acts chapter 4. 2 weeks ago, we took a break last week from our series in this book of Acts, but 2 weeks ago we were talking about this man that was healed, the crippled man, and today we talk about the response to that. So take your Bibles, Acts chapter 4. While you're looking that up, I want to ask you a question. Are you a bold Christian? Or are you by chance maybe a little timid? Let me put it this way. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? I just gave away my age because that question came out about 30 years ago in a song. Do your coworkers know that you are a Christian? A little boy had a mongrel dog, and a man came by and saw him walking his dog and said, "Hey, what kind of dog is that?" And he said, "He's a police dog." And the man said, "Well, he doesn't look like a police dog." And the little boy smirked and said, "Well, he's in the Secret Service." Well, I think we have some Christians today who think that they are in the Secret Service. They're just timid. They have convinced themselves that they're in God's Secret Service. They don't want to be seen in the office with a Bible on their desk, or they don't want to be seen in the break room quietly bowing in prayer, thanking God for their food before they eat it at lunchtime. They don't want to witness to the saving love of Jesus Christ when there's an opportunity to help someone. They live in fear, afraid that someone might dislike them or someone might criticize them or whatever it is. Now, to be clear, those folks are saved. They're just as saved as any other Christian, but they're missing a boldness that is so beneficial to the Christian life, and that was also evident in the early Christians' lives. So today I want to read some verses. I'm going to start with three verses, and I want you to notice the word boldness that's in all three of these verses. It's going to be a little different today. We're going back to the King James Version because I want to make sure we captured this word in all three verses. But Acts 4:13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took that knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Drop down to verse 29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." That's the second time in this chapter that word's there. Now verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." I missed the King James there. It's "they spake," but I say "spoke." Three times in this chapter they use the word boldness. One time is associated with God the Father. The next time it's associated with God the Son, Jesus Christ. And the third time it's associated with God the Holy Spirit. Are you a bold believer? Or are you a timid Christian? Do you want to be a bold believer? What is boldness? Well, let me tell you what it's not first. It's not arrogance. It's not the ability to put yourself in your finger in someone's face and just tell them off. That's not boldness. Anyone can do that, really. Boldness is not being rude or crude. Some people think if they're bold, when they're just being arrogant, they had bad manners. Manners. Sometimes the bad breath to go with it. That's not boldness. Those people are turning more people off to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're supposed to be apt to teach. We're supposed to be gentle, not offensive. So, you know, don't think that you're going around getting in people's face and that makes you a bold Christian. Boldness is not arrogance. It's not presumption where you just do things to show how much courage you have. What is boldness? Boldness is having the ability, the courage, to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ despite any opposition. What's the basis for our boldness? Well, I think you're going to find in today's passage that it's linked to the Holy Trinity. We're going to see it clear as crystal today. And I want to tell you how to be bold today. I want to tell you this because, first of all, it's a biblical principle. And secondly, I'm trying to share as much Bible with you to the very best of my ability. And that's just what we come to today, this great example of boldness. But also, we want to grow this church. We want to build a church. And we won't do it if we're not bold. So here are these three principles, these three things you can do if you want to be a bold Christian. Number one, keep company with God the Son. Keep company with God the Son. We're going to talk about God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in a little bit, but first of all, keep company with God the Son. Look again at verse 13. Now when they saw the courage of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So they had kept company with Jesus. You cannot walk in his presence. You can't be with him on a daily basis and be afraid. You just can't do it. Now, Jesus is alive and well on planet Earth today. Remember two weeks ago, we talked about this man being healed, and the rulers came up to them and said, how did you do this? How did this man get healed? And they said, hey, don't blame us. Don't give us the glory. Give it to Jesus Christ. It's by his name. It's by Jesus' presence. It's by Jesus' power that this man was healed. And they marveled. And they took knowledge of them. And they said, these guys are unlearned. They're not very smart. These guys haven't been to Bible college. They've not been to seminary. But you know what they had done? They had been with Jesus. And that's a basis for boldness. So you keep company with God the Son. You see, Jesus didn't come just to get you out of trouble. Jesus came to get you into trouble with him. And when you get into trouble, he will be with you. Here's the second basis for boldness. Not only keep company with God the Son, number two, have confidence in God the Father. How many of you have confidence in God? They told them, don't preach anymore. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. But notice what they said in verse 24. When they heard that ruling not to preach, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You've made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and all the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, hear their threatenings, and grant unto us thy servants that, here it is again, with all boldness they may speak thy word. They were told not to preach, and the first thing they did was pray. God, give us the ability and the power to do what they have just told us not to do. So they weren't just keeping company with God the Son. They were having great confidence in God the Father. You know, you just got to have perspective. You've got to get things into perspective. If you don't have this confidence, if you can't see everything that God can do for you, you're going to get spooked. The devil will have you running. He'll have you timid. But when you have things in perspective, when you see God and for who he really is, the man who can kneel before God can stand before anyone else. One fear, a holy fear of God, will remove all other fears. You see, they saw God. Look at how they saw him. Look at what they saw when they looked at God. They had confidence in him as the creator of the universe. Verse 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you're God. You've made heaven and earth and sea and everything's in them. They noticed that God was the one who scooped out the oceans, who heaped up the mountains, who dotted the universe with millions and billions and trillions of stars. And they said, God, you made all of this. Why should we tremble at anything when you're our Father? Why should we be intimidated when God, who can do all these things, is on our side? He literally spoke, and all that happened. What a mighty God we serve. You see, they had confidence in God as the creator of all things. And it follows, as night follows day, that they'd see God then as controller of all things. Again, get your perspective, right? Listen to the scripture again, verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Imagine it. these mere men standing on their two tiny feet, stick out their chest, and they shake their hand and fist at Almighty God like they can fight against him. They stand up together against the Lord and against his church, and Peter says, they can't do that. Who are they? For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, watch this, to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So I love it. God's the creator of all things. He's the controller of all things. You know, do you think in the Garden of Gethsemane and at Calvary, do you think God was in heaven and he looked down and he saw what was happening in that garden and said, oh no, what went wrong? You think the Holy Spirit called a meeting and said, you shouldn't have sent Jesus. Look what they're doing now. What am I going to do? How are we going to fix this? Look, they've crucified the Son of God. They didn't do that. That was the plan. They knew it was going to happen. They were prepared for it to happen. Nothing happens without God's permission. A blade of grass doesn't blow in the wind without his permission. Verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel determined before to be done. Look up here, let me tell you something. God has never lost control. God has never said, oops. God is the creator of all things, and therefore he's the conqueror of all things. In this passage, Peter's quoting from Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 and 6. And he says, the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord, his Christ, and his anointed. But verse 6 goes on to say, yet I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I want to give you good news. We win. We win. Jesus Christ is going to be enthroned in Jerusalem. Sin can't win, and faith can't fail. Now, I get it. I know that in all things, I know all things in this earth are not right now. I mean, you can be preaching and being going, moving along, and the cell phone goes every Sunday, right? It was mine this morning. Listen, faith can't fail. I get it. Things are not all right in this world right now because, as I've told you before, things are out of place. The church is the bride, and the bride belongs with the groom. And that's going to happen at the rapture. Jesus is the king, and the king belongs on the throne. And that will happen when he comes again. Satan is the criminal, and he belongs in the dungeon. And that will happen when Jesus Christ comes again. Right now, things are a little out of order, but God's going to put them into order one day. Sometimes you look at the ebb and flow of life, you look at some of the things that are going on, and you think, everything's gone wrong. This isn't supposed to be happening this way. I'm not supposed to be going through this. People are not treating me fair. People are terrible in this world sometimes. Maybe the Bible has failed. Maybe the story of God isn't true. No. In the end, sin can't win. And faith can't fail. So what's your problem? Think about a problem you're facing today. Think about something that's really going on. It's tough. It's weighing on your mind hard. You got it? Now double it. Make it twice as bad. Now double what you've doubled. Make it even worse. Imagine it. How bad is it? It's got to be bad, right? Now put it next to God, and how big is it? How big is that terrible thing you're thinking of right now compared to Almighty God? It's not. What's the basis of boldness? Keep company with God the Son. Have confidence in God the Father. When these people were terrified, they took their eyes off men, and they put them straight on God. The Bible says fear of man will prove to be a snare. Not going to help you to be fearful of man. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Take your eyes off your problems. Don't focus on your problems 24/7. Focus your eyes on Almighty God. He's bigger than those problems. He can work through those problems. He can solve those problems. Number two, focus on the Creator. finally, that shall lead you to number three. He's the conqueror of all things. So that's the basis of your boldness. Here's the third thing. If you desire to be bold today, keep company with God the Son, have confidence in God the Father. He's Lord over all. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in him. Number three, receive courage from God the Spirit. Receive courage from God the Spirit. Keep reading verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders throughout the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So the first time we saw boldness in this chapter, it was associated with God the Father. The second time we saw it in this chapter, it was associated with God the Son. The third time we see it associated clearly with God the Spirit. When we keep company with God the Son, we have confidence in God the Father, we will then receive courage from God's Spirit. We need that courage to live for him. Notice what the apostle said. Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. That word servants here in the Greek means bond slave. Are you a slave of the Lord Jesus? Are you responding to him? Are you doing what he wants you to do? I try to make it a habit to raise my hands daily and surrender to the Lord, to physically remind myself that I'm here for him, to say, I am your servant. What do you want me to do today? It's not just simply servant, though. This word means a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boldness is not for rebels. You will never have boldness, true boldness, until you can say to the Lord, Lord, grant your bondservant, your slave, boldness. When you do that, the Holy Spirit will give you courage. You know, if there's any unconfessed sin in your life, any unsurrendered area of your life, you're probably not going to have boldness. The Bible says the wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked flees where no one pursues. He's always wondering, do they know this? Have they heard that? Will they find me here? What if, what if, what if? But when you can wake up and say, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Lord, I'm your servant. Enable me. Give me courage. Let me do your will to the very best of my ability and beyond today. Grant boldness to me to declare your word. All right, so what did these apostles want boldness for? What were they praying? Why were they praying for boldness? They wanted boldness to declare God's word. Look in verse 29. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. I think part of the great curse of the 21st century are timid or cowardly Christians who are not expressing the word of God. These apostles did not ask for safety. They asked for courage. They asked for courage to do more of the very same thing that got them arrested to begin with. By the way, I don't want courage just for the man and the woman in the seats in the church. We need more pastors with courage. I don't hold myself up as a paragon of excellence in that area, but I'm truly convinced that there's not an area gone wrong in our world that couldn't be radically and dramatically and swiftly put back into place if all across the world we had a generation of preachers who would open up the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and would just preach the Christ of God without fear or intimidation. Preach, teach, and understand the Word of God. I'm convinced if we could quit focusing on what the world is doing and focus on what the church is supposed to be doing, we could be filling the seats and auditoriums all across our area and our state and our country and our world again. I was challenged with that, and I believe it. I think it's true. Quit focusing on what others are doing and focusing on what you are supposed to be doing as God's servant. If we could stop being critical and start being loving, if we could start confronting our friends and our neighbors and our communities with the love of Jesus Christ, with his plan of salvation, with our hope for the future, what a difference we'd make. Peter and John wanted the courage to express God's word. They wanted the courage to extend God's hand. Verse 30, stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They were praying, oh God, let your miracle working power flow through our hands. You say, I thought Jesus did the healing. Well, of course he does. But he does it through us. Jesus Christ does his work through us. Anything that you're doing that can be explained apart from Jesus Christ may not be worth doing. I said last week, we build with one of six building materials, wood, hay, or straw. Those things will all burn up in the end fire. Or gold, silver, and costly stone, and those things will all be purified in the fire of judgment. Now, we need some of that wood, hay, and straw. There's some things we ought to be doing to serve fellow mankind in this world. We all have to make livings. There's some basic things we got to do. But apart from the work that we do for Jesus Christ, nothing survives past judgment. Now, what did they want? They wanted courage to express God's word, because every soul they touched was another person that would go through that judgment. They wanted courage to express God's hand. They wanted courage to exalt God's Son. Verse 30, stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. That means by the authority of Jesus Christ. Now listen, I've been to meetings over the years. I work another job, so I'm in various meetings and different groups and gatherings, and sometimes there'll be a meal and they'll ask me to come and pray. Or I perform weddings, and at the wedding reception they might say, Randy, would you pray, ask the Lord's blessing. And on rare occasions, they've come to me and said, hey, would you please end your prayer with a simple amen? What do you mean? Well, you don't have to pray in Jesus' name, just amen. But that's not the way I pray. The Bible tells me to ask all things in Jesus' name. I don't expect to be in a gathering of Jewish people and have the Jew pray in the name of Jesus, right? I wouldn't expect a Jew who prayed in the name of Jesus if he doesn't believe in Jesus. I'd have more respect for him if he prayed the way he always prayed. I would have no respect for a Muslim who prayed any differently in public than he did in private, right? Doesn't make sense. I want a Christian to pray the way he prays. All they do, they pray about pluralism. They don't want pluralism. What they mean is synchronism. Dumb it all the way down till it means nothing to everybody. Then we'll let you just mumble a little bit of mumble jumble. But don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be afraid to say the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to pray in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, give us courage to express your word, to exalt your hand, and to exalt your Son, Jesus Christ. No, not everybody will believe in Jesus. And we don't force Jesus on anyone. But I don't want anyone telling me that I cannot express the Lord Jesus, or I cannot exalt the Lord Jesus. Now, end of story. What happened when these people were filled with boldness? Verse 31. After they prayed, the whole place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. And there were multitudes, because of the courage and boldness of Peter and John, that were swept into the kingdom of heaven. As I bring this message to a close, let me tell you something. If we would begin to keep company with the Son of God, and if we would have confidence in God the Father, and if we would receive courage from God the Holy Spirit, we would speak the word of God with boldness. Listen to me. It is time in this day, in this age, that we get out of the boat with both feet and hands and go for God. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone with me? You might be a little afraid. You might be a little intimidated. But remember, I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about brashness. I'm talking about the courage to express God's word. The courage to extend God's hand in love and power and healing and gratitude and giftedness. And the ability to exalt God's Son as Savior of this world. And He is. My question for you this morning is this. Is He the Savior of your life? Is He the Lord of your life? Do you know with 100% absolute confidence if you were to die this day that you'd go to heaven? If not, we extend that invitation to you to accept Christ as your Savior today and to know. To know. If you already know that, my invitation to you is to help us build a church. Help us make a place where we can help others come to know Jesus Christ. Not on a monthly basis, not on a weekly basis, but on a daily basis. Help us to build a place where people can come here and find Jesus any single day of the week.